Katie Feldman arrives in Southport, North Carolina, with nothing but a duffel bag and a desperate need to disappear. Working as a waitress at Ivan's Seafood Restaurant, she maintains a deliberate distance from everyone, deflecting her co-workers' invitations and ignoring the cook's offers to drive her home. Her goal is simple: remain efficient and invisible. This carefully constructed isolation begins to crack when Jo, a vibrant woman, moves into the cottage next door, accepting Katie's vague explanation that she came from up north seeking a place to start over. Meanwhile, Alex Wheatley, a widower running the local general store while raising two young children, has noticed Katie's transformation from a gaunt, nervous woman to someone healthier, though still guarded. When a crisis forces Katie to care for Alex's daughter Kristen, an unexpected connection forms. As spring turns to summer, Katie allows herself small comforts: secondhand clothes, a bicycle from Alex, and, most dangerously, forming connections with others. Yet beneath her growing comfort lies constant vigilance and a coffee can filled with emergency money. Through fragmented memories, we learn that Katie's real name is Aaron, married to Kevin Tierney, a Boston police detective whose controlling behavior escalated into brutal violence. Their marriage became a prison of fear, with Kevin monitoring her every move and punishing perceived transgressions with escalating abuse. Her escape required extraordinary planning: secretly stealing small amounts from Kevin's wallet, researching bus routes, obtaining a hidden disposable phone, and studying how to create a new identity. When Kevin left for a high-profile trial, she executed her plan, cutting and dyeing her hair, disguising herself, and beginning a harrowing journey of constant movement. After fleeing from Philadelphia to New York when Kevin spotted her, she eventually found her way to Southport, spending her last money on rent for the cottage. Alex's life centers on his children and store since losing his wife Carly to brain cancer. He struggles watching his children's memories of her fade, despite keeping photos and telling stories about her. His military background as a former Army investigator helps him recognize Katie's trauma responses: her flinching at sudden movements, touching where a wedding band would be, and constant vigilance. This understanding allows him to approach her with patience and respect her boundaries. Their relationship builds through small kindnesses: garden vegetables, an umbrella during a storm, and most meaningfully, his late wife's bicycle. When Katie hesitates to accept it, Alex connects their situations by sharing his own grief journey. Their day at Long Beach becomes pivotal as Katie observes Alex with his children, his patience teaching them to boogie board, and his traditions like making s'mores revealing not just a good father, but a good man. Their first kiss represents Katie's first experience of genuine love. Though her abuse has left her hypervigilant and wary of attachments, beneath these defenses lies extraordinary courage that Jo and Alex recognize even when Katie cannot see it herself. Katie's integration into Southport showcases how human connections facilitate healing. Her friendship with Jo offers her first experience of genuine female companionship, someone who accepts her without judgment. Their wine conversations become a sacred ritual, with Jo playfully naming constellations Elmer Fudd and Daffy Duck, creating a space where Katie can relax. It's to Jo that Katie first reveals her friend's abusive marriage story, using third person for emotional distance. Jo's response, that Katie's friend showed true courage by acting despite fear, gives Katie a new perspective on her own actions. Alex's children also contribute to her healing. Josh, teaching her to fly his Batman kite, becomes her first experience with this simple childhood pleasure. Kristen's spontaneous hugs represent uncomplicated affection without the conditions that defined her relationship with Kevin. Learning to drive becomes significant in Katie's recovery, not just a practical skill, but reclaiming an independence Kevin deliberately denied her. Her decision to put down roots rather than remain ready to flee marks a profound shift in her relationship with both past and future. As Katie builds her new life, Kevin spirals deeper into obsession. His mental state deteriorates rapidly. His home falls into disarray, he drinks heavily, and his emotions swing between desperate longing for Erin and murderous rage over her betrayal. He maintains elaborate lies about their relationship to colleagues while his professional life crumbles, eventually leading to an internal affairs investigation and suspension. Kevin's breakthrough comes at a funeral where he learns about Katie Feldman's new identification and driver's license in Southport. His journey south is marked by continuous drinking and disturbing thoughts oscillating between tender memories and violent fantasies. Upon reaching Southport, he breaks into Katie's empty cottage and sleeps in her bed, a chilling prelude to the coming confrontation. The novel's tension peaks when Kevin discovers Katie's new life while she enjoys an evening with Josh, Kristen, and Alex. Finding children's bicycles behind Alex's store triggers Kevin's final descent into rage. He purchases gas cans, douses the store with gasoline, and sets it ablaze, the ultimate manifestation of his destructive obsession. The fire engulfs the building where Katie and the children sleep, forcing her into action. She breaks a window, lowers the children to safety, and escapes before collapse. When Kevin appears with a gun, Katie creates a distraction, allowing the children to flee. Alex arrives, briefly shifting the balance, but Kevin later ambushes them, striking Alex with a crowbar. In their final confrontation, Kevin's deranged state blurs reality with delusion. The struggle ends with Kevin mortally wounded, begging Katie to return to him. This violent conclusion represents Katie's liberation from his control. After Kevin's death, an unexpected twist emerges. Katie returns to her cottage seeking Joe's comfort, only to find it abandoned and decaying. Cobwebs, hanging shutters, and walls showing years of neglect. This creates profound dissonance between Katie's memories and the evidence before her. The revelation comes through a letter from Alex. Joe was actually Carly, Alex's deceased wife, known to close friends as Joe. Safe Haven reveals the paradox that true safety comes from vulnerability with trustworthy people, not isolation. Katie initially believes safety means invisibility, keeping to herself with emergency money representing both protection and vigilance. Alex offers an alternative model of safety built on openness and support. He helps Katie reframe her story from victimhood to strength when he tells her, "You see yourself as someone who couldn't get away. I see the courageous woman who escaped." Joe's supernatural presence shows how meaningful connections transcend death. Her spirit guides Katie, helping her overcome fears and open her heart to Alex and his children. Joe's final blessing? "If Alex has chosen you, then I want you to believe that I have chosen you as well," provides Katie with closure. The novel affirms that true safety isn't found in hiding, but in building a life worth protecting. Katie's decision to stay in Southport represents her victory over fear. By choosing connection over isolation and love over fear, Katie transforms from a woman defined by trauma to one defined by courage.